The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Tons of summer opportunities for these fellow positions at school over the summer, either working with the clinics or with individual professors doing research, which can not only a little bit of money over the summer, I think all these fellows now are paid $12 an hour, but also can help to develop a very close connection with a professor who's working in the field to either now And finally, our summer classes. Again, I'm not sure how we start that section, but it doesn't make any difference. I'm a huge advocate of summer class as a any sort of student. I believe you can take up to 6 credits over the summer in just regular classes. It's nice to be able to get something like ethics out of the way in 9 weeks instead of a semester. And it's also very manageable while also doing something. Actually took 2 classes for 5 credits in ethics and a class called Federal Regulatory Process that's only offered during the summer session. I don't know how many of those classes there are that are only offered during the summer, but that is the end of one of the course. So you might find that there's a class of interest to you on the summer course list that you would otherwise be able to take at a different time.
How many of you are thinking of transferring today? You should talk to Dean Jack's office. You'll get more information on this.
If you are looking to do any kind of externship, the externship office is a great resource. Even if you didn't go to the externship fair, that same list of employers is certainly going to still be soliciting applications and resumes and cover letters from WCL students. So I would definitely stop by their office on the fourth floor or look at the externship office's website. It's a great resource. You can also stop in the Career Services office off the first floor lobby, and they also have an extensive website if you go in through the Career Link system. Another great resource are your professors, especially beyond the professors teaching your section. If there's a certain area of the law you're interested in practicing, you may want to seek out professors who teach in that area and just stop in and introduce yourself and say, you know, I saw that you work in the criminal law area, or I saw that you are interested in, you know, employment issues. That's what I'm interested in. You know, what do you recommend? And professors, by and large, are very willing to talk to students, even those they may not have had in class. So professors are a great resource for pointing you to other students, pointing you to organizations, serving as recommendations and references. And sort of in the same vein, talking to other students would be a great resource. So your dean's fellows, upper-level students, students who may have other work experience could point you to organizations and places in Washington that would work on things you're interested in. And Washington really is a great place for you to find work that you're interested in. You know, really any substantive area is going to be covered by a number of organizations, governmental, nonprofit, advocacy groups, firms. They're all going to sort of cover any number of areas. And so D.C. is a great place to be with a large number of resources and organizations. The other program sort of things you can do over the summer that we mentioned, the study abroad, dean's fellowships, and summer classes, you'll be able to get information from the WCL website or through the docket. So professors who are looking to hire students as dean's fellows or research assistants over the summer will post in the docket under the looking for section, and then professors will list that. So watch the docket. In the study abroad programs, the deadlines are all usually around April 1st. You can apply and put your deposit down and get your money back if you withdraw before April 1st. So if you're kind of thinking of it, you think you might want to do one of the abroad programs, you sort of might as well put a deposit down and apply, and then before April 1st, if you find something else, you can withdraw at no penalty.
Yeah, really, if you are out at all interested, apply early. I remember there was a lot of scuttlebutt last spring. A lot of people said that, you know, they applied on the second or third day after applications were due, and we're at the end of the line on the wait list for the trips. So if it's something that they are interested in, please do apply.
I think the Hague's already on the wait list.
I did hear Hague was already full. Yeah. Yeah.
So they take applications way before the deadline. There's no reason to wait.
And I did go on the Paris, London, Geneva program, and I really enjoyed it. And there were also a good number of students who were trying to transfer from the part-time to full-time division and were using that to get their credits. So I think it's a great opportunity if you can afford 4 weeks away. I don't know whether you're working or not. I know people who could take time off. But it was a really great opportunity, so I'm happy to answer questions about that specifically as well. And I really reiterate what Sarah said about talking to your professors. The great thing about WCL is that a lot of our professors were in the field working before that they came here, and they have a lot of contacts, especially in D.C. where it's so interconnected. They're bound to know a lot of different firms or agencies that might be used to you, and a lot of professors, if you're interested in what they're doing, they might be writing a book or doing some research. Even if they themselves haven't put out an ad for a dean's fellow position, they might consider if you approach them to say that you're really interested in what they're doing. So working for professors, also a great opportunity. I'm going to be talking a little bit about how to apply. And most of you know this already. You've been through a lot of the career days, but of course making your resume and your cover letter. We cannot emphasize enough how useful the Career Services Office is downstairs. I mean, some people have problems. You might want to shop around for a counselor that suits you best, but I found a counselor that I really liked, and she's always happy to review my resume anytime I update it. You know, it's just always good to have another eye looking at your resume and your cover letters, especially since a lot of people, for the first time, are applying to more legal-oriented positions. If you worked in the field but you're switching your resume to a more legal-oriented, you might be switching things around. So just because you've been using a standard resume for years doesn't necessarily mean that it's the best resume to be applying for these type of positions. If you already gave your resume out at the externship fair, it's really important to follow up. If you haven't heard anything already, that's probably because they received hundreds of resumes at the resume fair just because it's so easy to get out. And they really, truly don't know how to gauge a person's interest unless you make a proactive effort to approach them and be like, hey, do you remember when I gave you my resume? Or send it again to them. Most of the people I know who got their jobs from an externship fair, the externship fair last year, was because they followed up themselves with the agency or the whatever organization that they applied to. Another way that you can apply is applying directly through the Career Services website. If you haven't used it already, now's a good time to familiarize yourself. A lot of organizations seek out WCL students, and then you can submit your resume on the website and it sends it directly to them. And sometimes you also attach a cover letter or your transcript or your references through that website and it'll send it electronically to them. And the final thing would be obviously going to websites of organizations or different government agencies or wherever you apply. And it's always good to call the place and ask who directly to apply to if there's not a specific hiring person. Just because of a place that you're interested in might not say that they're hiring doesn't necessarily mean that they're not taking anyone. They just might not put that on their website. So it's always good to inquire, and it shows that you're very interested. And as far as how many applications to send out, I mean, the more the better. And you, it's just basic common sense that the more you send out, the more opportunities you're going to have. Of course, you don't want to sacrifice your grades because you're applying all the time, or you don't want to sacrifice the quality of your applications, but DC is honestly competitive during the summer, so you honestly don't know what some of these employers are looking for some of the time, so the more that you reach out and they open up your options, the better that you're going to be.
So I'm going to talk for a second about when, and I think we've made this pretty clear, so that it's a few periods of time. Start thinking about this soon. Maybe not the day before you have your oral argument and rhetoric, but soon. By the time we get to spring break, there's going to be a lot of other stuff going on. As you can tell if you read the docket, a lot of the activities, which we'll get to in a minute, on campus are starting to make applications and make choices. So this is, believe it or not, a little bit of a slow time in the semester, and it would be great if you could get your applications out before things pick up. I know that sounds crazy, but it
makes me nervous.
It's kind of true. So the sooner the better. Maybe if you're taking some time off from your schoolwork over the weekend, just start thinking about the kinds of places you want to apply. Make a list as soon as possible and start sending things out relatively.
And the more time you can spend on the front end preparing, a standard resume that would only require a little bit of additional revision for each position you might be applying for, the more quickly the applications will go when you find those places to which you want to apply. So I would certainly advise putting a little bit of extra effort in the front of the process so that it goes more smoothly than trying to spend several hours on each application thereafter. It's much better to do it.
Can I just add one more thing, which I should have said earlier, which is if you're at a job now and you're here in law school getting this degree to move to a different or what you think maybe a better job in that same office, you should consider trying to work with the legal counsel wherever you are, if that's where you want to end up. It would be better to find out now if that's not where you want to be, rather than spending all 3 years working towards that goal, getting there and not being as happy as you thought you might. It's also, as someone who worked in the field that I want to practice law in, I thought my resume was fine. I just want to testify to what Christina said. It is not appropriate for legal jobs. So that was hard for me. I also think it's hard if you guys are working now in the field that you want to be in to consider being an unpaid intern in the same field. Seems a little bit counterintuitive, but if it helps you get to where you want to go, if this whole process requires a little bit of humility in order to get where you want to be. So it's sort of worth accepting that for one summer to get where you want to end up.
I wanted to add one last thing about where some of these opportunities can become available. I have found that being a member of the ABA, and specifically a couple of different practice sections of the ABA, I'm a student member of the Energy and Resources section and the section on environment. So I'm getting emails with tons of things that not only are going on in DC, but also scholarship opportunities in certain cases, job opportunities. I actually got my job for this coming summer in the Association. It's technically an unpaid internship in the General Counsel's Office at the Federal Energy and Transport Commission, but there's no way in the world that I would be receiving that information from our association. So I think those sorts of things, although in most cases they'll require at least a reduced student membership fee, can be a really good source of information for those kinds of things. Something that you otherwise would need. So having said that, I thought we would move on now to some of the extra and co-curricular activities that you'll be able to do during your second year and going forward.
Can I actually just add one more thing?
Of course.
Sorry. Some summer internships that are listed as for Rising 2Ls require courses that, as evening students, you haven't taken yet. So if you're applying for an unpaid internship with a judge and you haven't had civil procedure or property, you should make that clear that you're an evening student on your resume. And in an interview, you might want to make that clear. I know it might not help your chances, but there are reasons why some of those courses are required for certain internships. And it's a little bit frustrating, but you may indicate you're either transferring or this is like your special interest in this. And it may overcome that issue. But as a Rising 2L means certain different things to different people who are making the listings. So just make sure you have taken what you need to take to do the work.
So Sarah is going to talk a little bit at the beginning of our activities section about the journals.
So journal is one of the big activities that students do at WCL and other law schools, obviously. We have four journals. The first is the American University Law Review, which covers any subject matter at all. And then we have three more topical journals. So the Administrative Law Review, which Christina and I are on, which covers sort of government and regulation issues. And then we have the International Law Review, obviously covering international issues. And then the Journal of Gender, Social Policy, and the Law, which in addition to covering gender, covers things race, class, education, crime, any sort of social policy-related issues. And the four journals work together to do two competitions for potential staff members to join. So you can participate in one competition and have the possibility of joining one, two, three, or four of the journals. You'll obviously only get onto one journal, but you can rank the journals in the order of your preference just by participating in one competition. So the first is a writing competition that takes place over spring break. It's called the Short Write-On Competition. The Tuesday before spring break, I think that's March 4th, you pick up a packet of materials. It's about 400 pages long, and it's all the materials you're allowed to use. It's a closed universal research, to answer one question. That question will be provided to you. And you'll read through all the materials and then come down on one side of the issue and write a 10-page case note, 5 pages of text and 5 pages of end notes. So not very much writing. It's in Courier New Font, so it's not terribly long, but giving a short sort of 5-page position on the question, and then about 5 pages using the sources to support the things you've said, showing blue book skills, being able to write parentheticals, being able to support what you've written with your footnotes. And then that paper is due the Tuesday after spring break. So you have 2 weeks in which to do the research, the reading actually. You're not doing the research on your own, the reading and the writing. And then when you turn in the paper, you also turn in the list of preferences ranking the four journals. You can just list one, you can list two, you can list up to four in the order of your preference. And the journals will read all the entries and score their applicants based on the journal's preferences, and then we'll match people up based upon which journal that you ranked the highest. And there's a second chance to get on journals via the Grade-On competition, which takes place in July. Students will again rank preferences, and then the journals will just go straight down the class list, beginning with the student who has the highest grades and going on down until the journals are all full. If you participate in the writing competition and you write on to your your second or third or fourth choice journal, you're also eligible to participate in the grade on competition and switch journals. So if you write on to your third choice journal but you have high grades, you could move over to the journal of your first or second choice. Now, if you are planning on staying in the evening division, you can wait and make this choice a year from now. The journals are all a two-year commitment, and you're required to be available for two academic years to be on the journal. But if you're planning on staying in the evening division and you have 4 years at WCL, you can wait until you're a 2L and participate in these competitions in the spring and summer after your second year in order to serve on the journal your third and fourth year. Or if you want to stay in the evening division but participate now, you can spend your second and third year on the journal and then have your fourth year not on the journal. But the journals are a two-year commitment. So that's how you get onto the journals. And then when you're on the journal, there are basically two main requirements of staff members. The first is that you help in the source gathering and editing process for the articles that are published in the journals. So you'll receive what we call at WCL our spading assignments, but it's just editing the content of the articles that get published in the book. Each of the journals publishes a certain number of books a year, and you'll receive assignments to do the editing for those pieces. And then the second major requirement is that you're going to write a long paper called a note or a comment, and that paper will satisfy your upper-level writing requirement. Every student at WCL has to write an upper-level writing requirement, which is a paper of at least 30 pages in length, and most students who are on a journal use their note or comment to satisfy that requirement. So that's sort of the journal topic. Glad to answer any questions about that.
And sometime before March 4th, there will be several exhaustive information sessions that go back over these short write-on requirements.
That are mandatory.
The grade-on process.
And they are Monday, February 25th at noon, or Tuesday, February 26th at 10:15 p.m. I don't know the rooms, but it'll be in the docket.
In addition, of course, to the journals, there are a vast array of other student-run publications here. Things ranging from human rights brief, sustainable development law, policy publication, criminal law brief, business law brief, jurist, the modern American, all sorts of things. So if getting some writing experience is something that you're interested in, perhaps being a journal is something that you're interested in, there are certainly opportunities. I think probably the best source of information about those, I think, website. I don't know if there's an awesome list of the publications, but anything that you might be interested in probably has if there are questions about that, certainly feel free to email us. I would participate in some of them, but I'm sure I'll be someone who participates in all of them.
And most of the publications are on the sixth floor, and most of them are always happy to answer questions. You can see their little name tag they're on the other side of the cafeteria. So.
There's definitely, just off the top of my head, there's definitely a business law brief, there's definitely a criminal law brief, brand new legislation and political legislation, politics, and policy journal that will be produced. So they're not all like the same, most of them are a little bit more informal than the four journals that Sarah just talked about, but there are lots of different topics.
In addition to those, there is, of course, our clinical program, which is,
as far as I'm aware, is one of the best at any law school in the country.
Second in the country. Civil practice clinic,
and then others that my
analysts will be able to do. But there are many of them, and that, those also can be a good way to get credit, both during the semesters and the summer.
So again, keep in mind, make sure to look at the course requirements. Some of the clinics require evidence. You guys have not taken, no one else taken, but different requirements for each clinic. So don't get your heart set on anything. It's a requirement.
Yeah. And I don't want to make it seem like we're glossing over any of these, but I do want to make sure that I have questions, so I don't want to spend too much time on anything in particular. But the range of options is very wide. I think you brought support Honor Society and Mock Trial to Marshall Brennan Program, which I will let you very briefly describe if you don't already know what it is. She is currently a Marshall Brennan Fellow.
The Marshall Brennan Project is a class to usually juniors and seniors in DC Public High School. We don't usually report to a particular teacher at the school. It is our full-time class. We usually just meet one period a day. Classes range in size from like 35 students to one of our sections this year, one of our classes is 4 students this semester. And we not only teach them constitutional law, Professor Jamie Raskin, who you may or may not know about, he's also a Maryland State Senator, wrote a textbook that we use called We the Students. And we cover a pretty exhaustive constitutional law case as far as 16-year-olds go. And we also train them for a high school moot court competition that is run by our program that qualifies our winners for the national moot court competition for high school students. So it's a ton of fun. I'm happy to talk to anybody else. Best choice, they've made an awesome summer.
Also, there are very wide ranges of team fellow positions, from integrated curriculum team fellows to people announcing the program in the summer, to, again, professor-specific research teams fellows. Did I say legal rhetoric? Legal rhetoric teams fellows, for those of you who want to remember it again. all sorts of things that you can do, not only during the summertime, but again, also during the summer as an activity. You all, I'm sure, already also know that UCL has just about every activity of the I'm involved in law society, law students association, women's law association, all of law association. There is some sort of student activity, just about every interest there is. And that's something that I sort of wanted to say today, since our next sort of topic about the activities and appropriate ways that materials and sort of what's managed. In terms of becoming involved in activities, I think it'd be better to pick a few things that you're very interested in, try and get involved in it, rather than just being serving in emails, doesn't go to events, and doesn't help the organization actually execute anything. A resume full of activities is going to demonstrate a whole lot of anything, unless you have some sort of leadership where you don't necessarily have to be president or vice president or executive make some sort of active position in the organization to demonstrate what you did. So I'll stop there.
I think it's really important to remember that activities take up a lot of time, and no matter what you do, it's probably more time than you think. Just going to meetings and what's required of you. You just really have to be honest with what you can manage, because even though first year is probably the most challenging academic-wise, you still have a lot of work as you move on. You're still going to be preparing for classes, even though you don't have legal rhetoric anymore. Lots of seminars do have writing papers. You're still going to be cold called in some of your classes. The reading does get more manageable in terms of you'll probably like some of your classes more because you get to choose them, but that doesn't mean that you're still not going to have academic responsibilities. And you also want to have, I'm hoping, a social life. It's nice to be involved with a lot of activities, but you don't want to be living at the law school. It's just not healthy. I think one of the best ways to figure out how to manage, how many activities you can handle, is to talk to other students who have been in these activities and really try to assess how much time these activities take and how busy these activities are in different parts of the year. Whereas some activities may be very busy in the fall, others might ebb and flow throughout the semester, and that might give you a better sense of how much you can handle all at once. And I would also recommend getting a wide array of assessments, because you're going to have people who have either had really good or bad experiences with the same type of thing, and that might just because of their personality, their interests, or their individual experience with a particular editor or group or whatnot. So try to talk to as many people as you can, and really the Dean Cells are always happy to sit down with the people one-on-one, and you can be like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, this, and this, and taking these classes. Is this possible? We might not know the answer right away, but we can try to find people who might have been in those similar fields and have some of those interests. It's really hard to give an overall rule of this. These are how many activities you can do. It's very individualized, but that's why we have office hours all the time, and we're always happy to set up appointments and respond by email.
And on that same note, also be sensitive, those of you who are switching to the full-time program, that you know next fall will be your first semester as a full-time student, and taking certainly at least one extra 4-credit class and probably also an extra 3-credit class is almost going to double the workload that you had this year. So think about how much time it takes you to do your work for classes in rhetoric, and multiply that by about 70%. 75%. It's just, I haven't done it personally because I'm still, I remain in the evening program, but I imagine it's quite shocking to break it in.
I'm still shocked. The first 2 weeks of the fall, I was walking around feeling like so proud of myself. I was like, what do these people do all day? This is awesome. And by the first of October, I knocked out. It's a lot of work. Some of it is definitely more enjoyable. I think Christina's right, to choose your own courses and choose things that you're more interested in. I would have chosen not to take contracts, but I didn't have that option. But I chose not to take things I didn't want to take this fall, and that's great. But that only gets you so far. If you're trying to balance double the classwork and six or seven activities.
don't get me wrong. I am overprogrammed, and I'm not having a good time. I love working with you guys, and I love helping out, but I've got too much.
Keep in mind that a little bit of free time at the beginning of the semester never killed anybody. So don't plan for how busy you'll be in the first and second week of school, and for how busy you'll be the week you try to outline.
Yeah, why don't we take some questions? I know that was a lot of information, and we have to spit it all out.
I guess this is mostly for Sarah because you did the summer. I'm doing one of those, and one of the problems I've had with trying to prepare for getting jobs is how to broach the fact that I'm not going to be here, May and June for the most part, and how to bring that up or kind of laying that low, doing the cover letter and the initial stuff, and then bring it up later. I don't know if you had any experiences on how to deal with that.
I did have an internship for 6 weeks when I got back, and I don't know. Necessarily, certain employers will respond differently, but by and large, the employers that I was talking to and some of my friends who went on the program were talking to were very open with saying, do you want to do a full summer or a half summer? It was sort of one of their range of options. So it certainly will depend on the employer, but I think that because there are enough employers that are willing to take students for just 6 weeks during the beginning or end of the summer, being upfront and certainly saying, I'm going on this program, this is why it's important to me, would I be able to work for you for 6 weeks when I get back? I would just put it out there, and there are organizations who will, sort of let you do just the 6 weeks. So I think that's a good combination.
Okay.
I would just throw in there, if you're planning to take a month to travel around Europe at the end of the summer, or directly after your program, and that means you're going to be here for 3 weeks, it's a whole different story than a half a summer. So,
just in mind. I also know...
I hope you don't mean to say that it's not a good idea.
But you should potentially address that in your cover letter.
I also know some people who they didn't have particular plans in the fall yet, so they told the employer, I can be here for the 6 weeks at the end of the summer, and if you'd like me to continue on in the fall, I'd be happy to extern too. And some people like that longevity.
And one thing we didn't mention too is that the nature of DC brings a lot of people here at the same time, which is why DC internships can be so competitive, and jobs generally. We have the distinct advantage of also being here in the spring and the fall. So if it's something that you can continue into the fall, if you're to work on a new schedule, if you're still working outside of school, or if you're not working at all, sort of,
when you're here all day, it's a really different experience. And sometimes being forced to be somewhere else is not a bad idea. And keep in mind, the school gives you a lot of credit for externing. So it's not, you don't have to take four core credit classes and externing. It pays off. So it's a good way to transition into this.
You kind of answered it. We're doing the same program, and so like the 6 weeks after the second half of the summer, would you guys recommend more of an internship then, and then like maybe extern during the fall, or would it be possible to do a 6 week externship? I don't know.
Probably not possible.
Yeah, you certainly wouldn't be able to do a 6 week externship because you'd have to slam in those
hours.
And you would run into is not so much the hours but the seminar.
Okay.
There are certain externships, you know, I think they call them out of state externships, that you can make special arrangements to do the seminar remotely, but I have a feeling that would be a little
time. Okay.
So I mean those, you know, use those 6 weeks for something to get you a little bit of experience where you might be interested in.
Okay.
But you can find your credits to your actual
or you can talk to the externship office because they probably know the details. I mean, I'm sure probably people have tried it before. So.
Sure, okay.
And if you can't find paid work for those 6 weeks, you should try to get pro bono hours.
Okay.
Get something.
I have a question. With law review and the two classes that you're required to take in the fall, is there just one extra class that you would take with that? Or how many credits is journal or law?
There's no required class that goes with it, but you do get 2 credits per academic year for being on one of the journals. So most students take the 2 credits during the semester in which they're writing their comment, their long paper, but it does help sort of alleviate the class burden when you're writing that paper.
Okay, so you would still take 4 classes plus journal, right?
That's probably right, yeah.
Okay, I think I take an extern and then...
Right.
Someone brought this up, I think it was Haley, and I was just wondering what the rest of you guys thought about this, that sort of that some people from the evening side run into problems with employers having not taken the same load of classes that day people do, particularly I would imagine CIFRO would be the biggest hurdle there. Have you guys run into this, or particularly in certain fields? Or
I don't have any personal experience with that problem. Have you or is that more by the
I think a lot of people who run into that problem are people who try to work for judges.
Yeah. I didn't experience the problem myself because I took classes as a judge. And I was still in that same job. But there were people just really only trying to work for judges, cause, especially if they had a civil case docket, having taken a little bit of a part of it. But I took criminal procedure over the summer. I think it's possible that if you were working for judges in criminal docket, if you were taking it concurrently, it might work out. You should also remember that if you're working now or you've worked before you came to law school, other experiences that you have bring something to the table that makes your application unique. So even if there may be things that are concerning, there are also unique things about every application that you should play that out a little bit.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't lose sleep over it. There are a million things that you can do and not do.
Is that more of a problem with them, like, not hiring you, or once you get there, you're going to have an issue? Like,
it's not a huge problem, and I probably shouldn't mention it. I know, like, 4 or 5 people from my section who were trying to work for judges, and I know 2 of them had legal experience. They had clerked before they came to law school, and it was the experience clerking gave them enough information about the legal procedure that it was fine.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, it's just something to keep in mind. Like, because it's not a typical law school experience, you should just check and see if they're required.
The other thing is, if you are if you're going to enter for a judge, you'll be working with their police. So, you know, more than likely, you won't have you doing discrete research projects. Plus, you know, I think you'll start to learn it. So, you know, it's an absolute certainty that they'll be less likely to hire someone doing that to pro. As long as, you know, say, you know, you're right about it, then you don't surprise them when you get there and say, oh, you know, wait, I'm at a pro. So, right side of the room, questions?
Well, what is integrating curriculum? I mean, I know that's what your emails say, but I have no idea.
That's a really good question.
Easy question. Can we? The integrated curriculum program is Professor Pop. study skills panels and exam prep panels. We do these jobs and activities in the spring. We're also doing some stuff that relates to course selection and for second year and going forward. The other sections, the full-time sections, or the evening section, do commons events, which basically bring together all of the faculty from section and try to work together issues and themes for the courses to try to give everyone a sense that learning and practicing law doesn't happen in a vacuum. So, you know, when you're learning torts, you also, in a lot of cases, need to be thinking about contracts and learning criminal law. There's also a big constitutional law. Basically, we work to try to integrate the first year curriculum in a way that sort of traditional model of having torts and contracts starting in common. We're also, this year, for the first time, putting on an event during Founders Celebration, which Sarah is primarily responsible for, bringing in a whole bunch of professors from other law schools to talk about innovations in the first year curriculum. And it looks like that's going to be pretty successful. So that will be the 21st, which is a Friday, which makes you free. So if you can, you should come and talk about this. Become increasingly
and the integrated curriculum is, we also provide one-on-one peer counseling.
Yes, peer counseling office hours, all of my wonderful emails, cookies, coffee, and sodas.
We feed the school.
Yeah.
What I thought was most interesting about it was the opportunity to really get to know the way the school works. Because, not that I don't love my session, talking to you guys as well, but because I was an evening student, I was really only here from like 5:30 to the minute rhetoric ended, and I was out the door again. I had to get back to work at 7 o'clock the next morning, and any more time was just more than I could handle. But, you know, just to know, like, little things. Like, there are all kinds of programs at the school that I didn't know about, you know. There are things that happen every day during lunch that are a great opportunity to learn about what other students are doing. So, you know, I thought that this was a great opportunity to sort of combine those. Scott and I are like full-time cheerleaders for the evening. We all deserve the same resources. So that's fun too.
And you get 50 minutes with Professor Popper.
Very random.
Mostly night.
Just thing I wanted to note while they were talking about evening students is for those of you who do stay in the evening time program, most of the activities are very catered still towards evening students, and you should remember that. You shouldn't feel excluded because you're an evening student, because they put most of the meetings, for journal we only have to meet once a month, but the meetings are at 10:10 at night. A lot of the briefs also meet after the evening classes are over, so you should just be aware that that these possibilities are still open to everyone.
Yeah, what is also the legal analysis program?
Oh,
I
keep
saying
these things. Oh, that's okay. It's good. Like I said, the legal analysis program is run by Professor Mary Clark, and it is essentially a 2-week primer for just about anybody who's interested, but I think it's designed for students who have been out of the classroom for a couple of years, basically to come. Christy. Yeah. It's basically just 2 weeks of morning and afternoon classes on study skills. We don't cover a topic in particular, you know, a couple of criminal law cases and criminal law exercises. That just happens. And then there are continuing requirements for the fall semester. There are classes that Professor Clark puts on, sort of the same kinds of things that we sometimes cover. Case briefing, just
somebody who's currently practicing, maybe first legal counsel's program alumni, because we wrote into the facility here, so first set of people who have now are actually working. So we're trying to get something to talk about how we're going there. But that's, you know, just like everything else, that is the sort of thing that I don't remember, in fact, whether or not it was emphasized in the docket. And remember that anything in my office hours are 5 to 6 p.m. and 8 to 9 p.m. on Tuesdays. So I have a come on class in Room 213 library, and what's usually happening?